certainly not suggesting that anybody do this themselves. But if you look around during Shemoneh Esrei, and you watch other people davening Shemoneh Esrei, silent Shemoneh Esrei, probably find two types of people. Like everything in life, there's always two types of people. One type of person, when he davens Shemoneh Esrei, is an intense concentration, furrowed brow, almost to the degree that he looks like he's in pain. Very, very intense, you know, hunched over, every muscle in his body is tensed. That's one type of person. May take him longer than other people because he repeats over words, you know, whatever. One type of person. And then you have another type of person. Other type of person, also intensely focused, concentrated, but there's no furrowed brow, no tension of the muscles. He sort of looks like he's breezing along with the tefillah, floating with the angels. Which of the two is right? Well, I'm not paskening. But there's a tendency to think that like Dalif Nei Miata Oimed is something that's going to require a lot of intense concentration, and you know, it's like squinting to understand the Rajba, and the more I push it, the more I force it, so then the closer I'm going to get. But it's very interesting that the Chazon Ish, in the beginning of the Sefer Emunah Bitachon, when he describes when a person meets up with Emunah, he seems to say that it's exactly the opposite. The Chazon Ish, in his poetic language, he says, Midas o Emunah, the Mida of Emunah, of true faith, of when you meet with the Ribbono Shel Olam, who netiya daka is a subtle aspect of the adinus anefesh, from the refined, delicate soul. In other words, what he's telling us is that emunah is an aspect of our nefesh. It's something natural. We naturally believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an aspect of our nefesh. But when do you feel that emunah? When do you feel this trait of emunah? So he says, imhu bal nefesh. First of all, he's got to be somebody who's in touch with his nefesh. He's in touch with his feelings. V'shaytoy shasa sheket. And it's very quiet. Nobody bothering him. Chafshi meravay natavani. None of his drives are coursing. He's not angry about anything. He doesn't desire anything. He's not physically hungry. He's not overly ambitious at that moment. He's just relaxed. Ve'enov marhiva mimachse shamayim, his eyes widen from the sight of how high the heavens are, ve'aretz la'imek, and how deep the land is. Ve'hu nirgash, and he feels, ve'nidham, and he's astounded. That's when a person feels emunah. Person feels emunah, not when he's trying to, I need to see Hashem. Nafshi choylas, I'm sick for you, Hashem. I have to get in touch with you. No. Emunah is natural. At a moment of quiet, at a moment when nothing's bothering you, at a moment when none of your drives are coursing and there's nothing pushing you and you're not forcing anything. It's at that point, says the Chazon Ish, that the emunah kicks in and you have an episode, so to speak, of really, really believing, really, really being in touch with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Dalif Nehmi Atoimet. Chumash Shmais, started last time, not only the Chumash, where one of the Keiches that was put into orbit in Chumash Bereishis comes to fruition, the whole story of the Galus of Mitzrayim that was given birth to at the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and the culmination of getting back to where we're supposed to be, the Avos are the Merkava to the Shechina, and at the end of Chumash Shmais, and then the Shechina comes back in the Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan. But the Ramban tells us something else. The Ramban tells us, and everybody knows, that Chumash is the Sefer of Emunah. One night a year, Seder night. So Vigad Telebincha Bayemahu, we tell over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Sefer Achinuch, and all the Rishonim basically say that the reason behind it is because of Emuna. We have to build our Emuna. Has Yitzias Mitzrayim build Emuna? So we all know the answer. This week we have 7 Makas. Next week another 3. The week after that you've got Kriyas Yamsuf, 50 Makas. 250 Makas, 500 Makas, whatever it is. Makas, 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 and Zakhtar Ramban at the end of Parshas Bay, that is what gives us our Emuna. The Ramban famously writes, V'kasher yirtza alikim, ve'eda, oy biyachid, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants an individual or a group of people, v'yasi mo'em mo'yfes, what he's going to do to prove himself to them, he's going to make a miracle. B'shinoi min hagoy shel olam, he's going to change the way that the world usually works. V'yisborer l'kol, and it will be clear to everybody. Bitul hadeus ha'elo kulam, it will set to rest all of the different opinions that say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not running the world. Ki ha'mefes ha'niflo meresh yesh l'olam eloka, because miracles prove that there is a God. He created the world, the idea, and he knows what's going on. Umashgiach, and he oversees, v'yachol, and he can do whatever he wants. V'kasher yiyah ha'mayfes ha'u nigzar t'chila mipi navi, and when it was predicted by a navi, yizbar mimenu oid amitas ha'nevuah, it will also prove nevuah. V'lochein yoyim rakosu b'mayfesim l'man teda, it says l'man teda, through the mayfesim you're going to know that I run the world. V'omar l'man teda ki la'ashem ha'aretz. V'omar bavur teda ki ein kamayni b'chol ha'aretz. So the Ramban says that all the things that happened in Mitzrayim, the Makis, all of the Mifsim, are the yesod of our Emunah, and that's the reason why we have so many mitzvahs, which are Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim, because that proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. That's the way that we're always taught, that Ramban. The truth of the matter is, it bothers me every year as I go through it again. What does it mean that it proves? I remember when I was in 7th grade, the first time that I heard the Chafetz Chaim's mashal that they always tell you, you know, the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. What's the proof? And the Chafetz Chaim's mashal is let's say you have a watch, and the watch is somewhere in the desert, and you ask some guy, how'd the watch get over here? And he said, well, it was an amazing thing, you know, 15 minutes ago, so there was an incredible sandstorm, and from all over the world, you know, the little pieces just came, and they magically just fit together, and what you've got is a watch. And the Chafetz Chaim says, is look, if, you know, what's it called, you don't believe it about a watch, then how can you believe that about the universe? So is it crazy to believe that the watch came by itself? Is it crazy to believe that the world came by itself? Yes. Is it a proof? No. You can prove something mathematically. When you learn geometry and you have certain givens, certain things that you expect, that you know everybody says this is true, and you accept that that's true, based on a set of givens, so then you can mathematically prove certain things. That works in math. Maybe it works in certain types of science also. That you can objectively, absolutely prove something. But when you're talking about proving that there's a Rabbi Shalom who runs the world, okay, so nowadays they're saying it's a Big Bang. Who made the Big Bang? Nobody made the Big Bang. Alright, so if there could be one Big Bang, so why can't there be 10 Big Bangs? Each one of the Makas is another Big Bang. Aye, it's crazy to believe. The Shach says it when he talks about spontaneous generation, which many people say doesn't exist. The Shach says, Shalei ro'inu, ain't a raya. The fact that we never heard about it is not a raya. So take it back the other way. Shalei ro'inu, ain't a raya. Who says the Rabbi Shalom behind it all? Objective, mathematical, scientific proof that you don't have. So Elamai, when the Ramban says over here that what we're talking about is called Yediyah, he's talking about something else. apparently what he's talking about is something called intuitive perception. Everybody in the room know that they have 10 fingers? Prove it. Maybe you're seeing double. Maybe every single one of us is seeing double. You can't absolutely prove it. Does each one of you know that the person that says that you are on your passport, that that's really who you are? Maybe you're an imposter and somebody hypnotized you and convinced you that this is true, but really maybe you're somebody else. So do you really know? No, but that's obscene. That's absurd. There are certain things that we just intuitively know. It's just too crazy to be anything other. And apparently when you go through the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all of the Makis, even though objectively you can't say, okay, fine, Dam and Sfardeya and Kinim and Arev, they absolutely prove that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom mathematically. There could be so many big bangs just at the right time. But it's too much. And it goes into national consciousness that it can't be. And therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim built into us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that he's Mashgiach, he's there, he created, and he's running everything mitchilo v'ad seif. But let's just take it one step further and one step deeper. How does it happen? What exactly happened that Yetzias Mitzrayim? How did it become so indelibly embedded on our national consciousness that all Klal Yisrael knew for the rest of history, and now handed down from father to son, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything? How did it make such a deep psychological impression, a deep indelible impression upon the national psyche, the psyche of Klal Yisrael, that never went away? What's the process of that? How did it happen? I heard a shmooze this week, but which I don't really believe is true. But it makes a good point, and the point is certainly true. The story was that the Chafetz Chaim allegedly said that when he wanted to write the Mishneh Brura, so he went to a whole bunch of people, Jungelite, and he said, this man which is Mesugal right now, we need a safer Mishneh Brura, we need a safer on Aruch Chaim, tell everybody what to do, go through all the sugyas properly and everything, and no one wanted to do it. And he felt that they were more capable than he was. And he was an old man already, and where's he getting the keiches from? And so fine. But no one wanted to do it, so he did it himself, and the whole fact that he was able to write the Mishneh Brura was an absolute nace. And so many times when he was learning Mishneh Brura mysteriously, a sefer that he just happened to need at that time, the story of Chaim Kanievsky with the grasshopper that came into his window when he needed to know what a chagav is. He said, just poof, sefer came out of the bookcase and it opened to the page exactly that I needed, and a tremendous, tremendous yada d'shmaya. Okay, I'm not so sure that the story happened. But the point is that when a person is doing what he's supposed to be doing, that you're many times granted siyata d'shmaya, you see things that you ordinarily would not have seen. That's certainly true. And I can't say that any books, fall out of bookcases at me. But one thing that did happen to me this week was that there's a problem that I've been bothered by for a while, that I happened to see a pamphlet hanging around in one of the shiur rooms, and it gave me a great insight to something that's been bothering me about the point that we talked about in the beginning about Menuchas HaNefesh. Pamphlet is basically an extrapolation. It's based on Shmuzin that Rabbi Yehuda Adis, Rosh Yeshiva Kol Yaakov, gave. And it's an extrapolation of the Geras HaRamban. The beginning of the Geras HaRamban, the Ramban says, the same Ramban that we're talking about before, he writes to his son, and he says, if you want to be successful in life, what's the first thing that you should do? And really, everything else is going to come fall like dominoes from this one thing. Tisnaheg tamid ledaber kol dvorecha benachas l'kol adam uv'chol eis. Always speak calmly. always speak gently. Always speak in an undertone. Don't get too worked up. Why? So this is how he expands on the in the Kuntres, and this is what was so powerful to me. When a person knows that he has to speak gently, he has to make sure that he has peace of mind. Because if you don't have an internal serenity, if things are bothering you, or if you're worked up, if you're nervous, if you're angry, you'll never be able to talk in a way that's serene. It's going to come out in your speech. So therefore, if a person goes through life and he has to always speak benachas, he always has to be checking himself and see, how do I feel right now? Do I have menuchas nefesh? Do I feel gentle? Am I angry? Am I nervous? Am I calm? And if he does that, he's living in a different world. Because the world that we live in is absolutely gorgeous. The very fact that we're alive is absolutely gorgeous. So what stops us from feeling the pleasure in life? The fact that we don't have menuchas nefesh. The fact that we're always nervous about something, that we're always worried about the fact, you know, I didn't know the sugya well enough, I didn't finish shas yet, my davening wasn't good enough this morning, what's going to be with me, how am I going to get along in life? The 7 zillion things that we're nervous about, the 7 zillion things that we're angry about and that we feel deprived, if we were able to just say to ourselves, okay, chill out, relax, then we would enjoy ourselves so much more and we would feel the pleasure of life. That's what the Ramban says. In a very similar way, I believe that the Ramban, when he's talking al Torah, and he says that in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the reason that we came into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we came in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we realized the Yesod of Emunah, and we realized Emunah in a way that we never did before, a very similar experience. I don't know if anybody has ever, I'm sure everybody has, you go to a window during a snowfall, during a blizzard, where the snow is piling up at an incredible rate, and you just stand there at the window and you stare, right? Or you go to Niagara Falls. Guys from Toronto, it's right around the corner. And you sit there and you stare. The Grand Canyon. During a hurricane, it's a little bit too dangerous sometimes, you know, so what's it called? Maybe you feel a little bit tense during a hurricane that your house is going to get knocked down. But let's say you wouldn't. Let's say you're in a house that there's no way that it can get knocked down, yeah? You stand there, you stare. How do you feel? Would you say that you feel Avas Hashem at that point? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe you're just seeing something which is so wonderful that it just, you have a certain love to the one who's doing it. But there's one feeling that you definitely have. It's awesome. You're totally awed. It's just, wow. Awesome. Niagara Falls, you can't stand in front of Niagara Falls and look at the water coming down and start thinking about all of your petty aspirations about the fact that, like, okay, fine, I want another falafel, or I'm angry at this and I'm angry at that. It's just, wow. I'm so tiny and that's so big. It's an awesome world. And that's just Niagara Falls. That's not even a nace. Imagine that you lived through Yetzias Mitzrayim. That you had 10 makas of constant Niagara Falls. And not just that, but at the very time that you needed it to happen, right after Moshe Rabbeinu predicted it, boom! Small. Insignificant. You're tiny. And that gets you in touch with the fact that there's something out there much bigger than I am. It's a quiet moment. It's a moment where I can't think about what's going on inside of me and all of my ambitions that are coursing and all of my anger and all of my nervousness. It's just, wow. 600,000 individuals and nation together feeling this constantly for months on end. And if you do that, so you come into touch with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's a totally different world. Practically speaking, there's a very big lesson here for every one of us. And that is the fact that we live in a world which is always Dalif Ne Miyata Imeid. It's not just Shemona Esrei. We're always in front of Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's the greatest pleasure that we can have. The very fact that we're alive, and I've been practicing over the last couple of days since I read this thing, you know, you just sit in the base medrash and just look around and watch everybody learn and listen to the culture and see what's going on. It's a gorgeous place to be. And it doesn't have to be in a base medrash. Some places are more obnoxious to be. But many places are very, very beautiful. Go look at a sunset. The gift of life. But we never even see it. Why? Because there's so much torment inside of us. We're so angry about so many different things, and we're so nervous about so many different things. And we're so pushed by this drive, I have to be, I have to be, I have to be. It's not good enough the way that it is right now. So we don't even know what's going on. The words of the Ramban, life becomes a Gehenna. We inflict torment upon ourselves. But if we just wait for that quiet and we learn this skill that the Ramban is teaching us to just say, okay, relax, take a breath, life is good, all of your worries and all of your nervousness, let's just put it on the side for a while and just enjoy life itself. So the person experiences a moment of emunah, not only a moment of emunah, a person has hanah in this world the way that it's supposed to be, and he can experience it on a regular basis if he uses that tool of just training himself to speak benachas. More than speaking benachas, always check your temperature to make sure that you are benachas. And if you're getting nervous about something, learn to tell yourself, not successfully all the time, take it easy. It's not that important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for all of us with open arms. We should all be zeche to be in His presence constantly, not tormented by our inner conflicts and our inner nervousness, but always just realizing that the greatest beauty is the beauty of life itself. And then this world, even before the next one, is a very, very geshmaka place to be. We should all be zeche.